Welcome back to the Bench Boys. This is Scott, and with me is Gavin. Gavin, let's come up with
that. What do you want, mate? What should we call the show?
You fucking prick. Game week 11 forecast, you fucking prick. Well,
the hypocrisy is spiraling.
It works because
I'm a fucking prick.
Well, not only does Theo, who you answered the question 2 weeks ago, thinks you're a prick. Nick of FC Arsenal from last week also texted in afterwards to say, "Why is Gavin a prick?" And my response was that you can't have two questions. By the way, we are actually recording this, and this is the podcast.
No, it's not.
It's as good as it's as good an intro as any.
It's not. It's a fucking car wreck, Scott. What fucking happened, Scott? What was the big thing?
Riyad Mahrez's hat trick.
Remember Riyad? I've got a good one. It's dark. He could have been killed, and it's also about Jimenez.
What is it?
What?
Huh?
He fucking could have been killed. Head injury, right? Went to hospital. And the guy joined our league.
Yeah.
And that's his team name. So the subtitle is, he could have been killed. Double entendre.
We can't mention Jimenez.
Why?
We're using this.
Huh?
Because he genuinely could have been killed.
Yeah, that's just a statement of fact.
Okay.
So that's the show. It's a deep cut. Thinkers will get it. You're like, fucking lawyers will get it.
Okay.
If you finish dicking about, maybe we can start the podcast. You ready? Welcome to Bench Boost Boys, Game Week 11 forecast. He could have been killed. With me, Gav, and you, Scott.
Yep.
Thanks.
It's all you're getting.
Oh, that's charming. All right, well, what are you drinking there? Canned bleach?
It's just beer. Let's just move on.
All right.
I'm upset with you. We should talk about the name of the podcast.
Is that what you're upset about?
No. I'm upset. You know why I'm upset. I just want to say a quick welcome to Peter Conomo of He Could Have Been Killed, who recently joined our league. Joined our league. I thought, great, we have an extra person. And then the bastard goes and scores 81 points. He's actually gunning for top spot. So,
are you saying we kick him out?
Well, can we?
Yeah.
Well, if he gets up the top, let's kick him out.
And what was the other reason for He Could Have Been Killed being the show title?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. You talk about it. Jimenez.
He could have been killed.
He could have been killed.
That's a bit awful.
It's really dark.
He had to have surgery and everything.
Yeah, a fractured skull. It's not even a laughing matter.
I don't know why you were laughing so much about it. Do you want to make an apology?
No.
All right. So what are we talking about this week?
The usual stuff. I mean, truthfully, if you want to go to a specific section, you just look at it on Spotify. We'll timestamp it for you. We'll talk a little bit about last week. We'll go on to players. Then we'll talk about next week, and then we'll talk about ourselves, our favourite topic.
And the mailbag. Where I get to abuse people. I don't mean to.
No, you've heard a lot of feelings in that mailbag in the last couple of weeks.
I see it as tough love.
No, we'll try and make it a little bit more, nice.
Nice.
An adjective. Just nice.
Mm. I can do. But yeah, as Scott says, if what you're looking for is what we're going to do, jump right to the end.
In the meantime, we'll talk about all of the socials, Bench Boost Boys across all of them. And if you like our good friend Peter Conomo and you want to join our league, the code is P2IFBX.
Yeah, please join. Especially if you've got hardly any points.
Yeah, don't come in and challenge us in our own fucking league. That's not the point of it. The point of it is that we win it and we justify our positions here as the podcast hosts.
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Mm.
Okay, so let's crack on then. And it's benchboostboys.club for the website.
Let's jump into it.
Let's do it.
So how'd you go this week?
Game week 10. Well, to answer your question, not great. Bang on average.
Like statistically average.
Literally average. Average score this week was 44 points. That is what I got.
You've got to be embarrassed about that for many reasons, and there are about 1.5 million of them, and that's the players that just stopped playing after game week one. They're part of that average, Gavin, and you're there with them.
Yeah.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I imagine you're going to be pulling people apart in the mailbag, so we might as well get started with you.
Talk to us about your team. Loads of pent-up frustration and anger. It's going to be horrible. Okay, so I had Leno in goal. 2 points. Arsenal lost to Wolves. Chilwell got a clean sheet, 2 bonus points. That was pretty good.
I feel like that's a recurring theme with Chilwell.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's great.
He's just doing really well.
Yeah, 8 points from him. Creswell, 2 points. No assists, no clean sheet. Walker-Peters, 1 point.
Why did you start Walker-Peters when they were playing Man United? And you knew Edison Cavani was playing.
Because I was worried that Calvert-Lewin might put Leeds to the sword, and so on the bench I had Dallas and also Zuma of Chelsea as well, because I thought Spurs might...
Yeah, didn't want to double down on the Chelsea.
Yeah, I was concerned that if Tottenham decided to break out a 4-0 win, I'd have two Chelsea players in there. So Walker-Peters it was, 1 point. Then Ziyech only got me 2 points. He got a midfielder's clean sheet, but yellow card. Grealish could have had more, but he had a goal and the bonus points, so 10 for him. Fernandes, Man United, goal and assist, 10 points. Should probably mention, and I did, if you listened last week, you'd have heard me saying I was going to captain Fernandes. I also said the week before. Didn't do it either weeks. Jokes on me.
What's Captain Hindsight telling you?
Is this fucking Captain Fernandes or Salah?
Yeah.
I didn't. So yeah, I got just the 10 points for Fernandes. Just the 10. Son for Tottenham, just 3 points. Watkins, missing a penalty is a harsh thing, isn't it? So 0 points.
Yeah, but he brought it on him. It wasn't like it was a great save. He just hit the crossbar.
Yeah. What was the stat about him and his success rate from penalties?
So 66%. So 4 in 6 he's missed.
So that's 66% miss rate.
Yeah.
So 33%.
So
hit rate.
There's a bit of chatter on the Twitterverse, and you know, just even amongst our friends and colleagues. I don't think he's going to take another penalty for Aston Villa. Not until he at least gets better on the training ground, and maybe Grealish will step up and start taking.
I hope not. I mean, unless the only other reason for that could possibly be that there aren't any great penalty takers in their starting 11. But his success rate's awful.
Yeah, but look at Lookman. He missed a penalty for Fulham a couple of weeks ago, and by missed, I mean it was objectively awful. This week, Fulham's second goal was a penalty, and Lookman wasn't even there for it. Didn't even get to pick the ball up, and he'd already scored a goal. So.
Yeah, well, he's banned for life, surely.
Unforgivable, Watkins.
Yeah, so I got 0 points for him, which is a shame. Kane, well, effectively blanked there in that 0-0 draw against Chelsea, 2 points. Calvert-Lewin, that's where I put my captain pick, and I turned 2 points into 4, like turning wine into piss.
So you got 44 points in total.
Mm-hmm.
Half of 44 is what, 22? You got more than 22 points sitting on your bench.
And?
I'm just saying, maybe you made some terrible choices this week.
Okay, so let me subvert that for you. Would you really have called for a Leeds clean sheet before the weekend? considering they conceded 8 goals a couple of weeks ago in the last 2 games.
I fucking wouldn't have, but you've got 19 points of Leeds players alone sitting on your bench.
So. Yeah, and Kurt Zouma's there as well, 5 points, Solly March 2. So don't get me wrong, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and now what is it, 4 out of 5 weeks I could have played
this
the
bench. This is a recurring theme for you, and this is probably the best.
You think it's funny, I've got no problem with it, because how the fuck are you supposed to go? Like, the captain pick? Roast me for the captain pick.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because it's like...
Oh, you took a punt, and I actually think last week's show I might have egged you into it a little bit. Only because I'm always going to captain a premium asset.
You can't roast me for not playing a bench boost.
I'm not going to roast you for not playing a bench boost, but it's just becoming a recurring theme. So what I'm suggesting to you this week is you finalise your team, you let me know once it's done, I'll log in for you, I'll take your 4 players on your bench, and I'll swap them for 4 of your players on your field.
That's not going to happen. But thank you so much for the offer.
The offer's there.
So, whilst we're taking the piss out of things, how did you get on?
Well, you can't take the piss out of me, because I actually did pretty well.
I'll find a way.
There were obviously players... For every single FPL manager this week, that just didn't show up. For me, it was McCarthy, got 2 points. Bellerin conceded 2 goals, got a yellow card. Kilman, he came on really late to score 1 point, and he denied me getting Walker Peters, who scored one point.
Yeah.
I obviously had Benjamin Chilwell as well, and I talk about Benjamin Chilwell being consistent because he is. Like, the points he's racking up this year are crazy.
Chilwell's kind of almost taken the mantle from, say, like a Trent Alexander-Arnold from last year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold's not even an option anymore because he's cooked. Robertson's probably the only Liverpool asset that, premium Liverpool asset, that defensive asset that people are looking at anymore, and you know, Chilwell's performing, outperforming him. Bruno Fernandes I captained for 10 points, so I got 20 from him.
Must be nice.
It is nice. Grealish, 10 points. Watched the game this morning. Awesome fixture. He mentioned last week he was just loving his football. He had a smile on his face for half the game, even when he was rolling on the ground holding his ankle. James Rodriguez again with a blank 2 points. I thought maybe this week he might step up. Didn't happen. Salah, 6 points. I'm just going to call it right now. That's a blank for Salah. I mean, he's worth 12.2 mil.
I know it's a lot of money, but it's, you know, I would be more concerned if he was, you know, if that was a regular thing, I guess, or if he was just getting like 2 points, like your next player got 2 points.
No, I'm being greedy. Salah, 6 points is great. Kane, 2 points. DCL, 2 points. And Watkins, 0. Did we have the exact same front three? We did.
Watkins, Kane, Cavalier, yeah.
That's got to change. Maybe it has.
We'll talk about that later.
I didn't leave too many points on the bench like yourself. I only left, I think, maybe 5 points all told with Mendy.
I've got an interesting talking point for you, actually, and I haven't even really particularly put too much thought into it, but I realised that my entire starting 11 represented 5 games out of 10 for the week. So I had lots of players in my team playing against each other.
Touched on this last week when we answered FC Arsenal's question about having multiple players from one team. I like to maybe have two. You've got three in a couple of teams, maybe not anymore, but I think I saw 3 Chelsea players. You had to pop Zouma on your bench. Mm. So that's always going to help contribute to that kind of statistic. Mine isn't, you know, I'm not saying I've got all unique players that are all, you know, I've got 15 players from 15 different teams.
But that's 5 games, not including anyone on the bench. So it's kind of irrespective that Zouma was involved because he wasn't in starting 11. It just my starting 11 only represents 5 games. And I just wonder how much that hampers it, especially if there's a lot of goals. If they're all 0-0 and you've got some defenders and midfielders, kind of happy days to a point, but even then you're missing out on your strikers.
Yeah, the midfielders.
So I just thought it was an interesting point. Just 5 games, and I'm not sure that's happened to me before this season.
The one thing that I want to point out about this game week is Salah. It came back after, you know, having contracted COVID after attending his brother's wedding in Egypt. Only played about 65 minutes, got subbed off.
He was furious.
So pissed off.
I've seen some real contrasting opinions, particularly from Liverpool fans online, around that. Some are actually like, yeah, that's good. For two things. One, because it shows that he's fucking hungry. You know, he wants to play. Similar thing happened with Bamford for Leeds at the weekend. He came off like 5 minutes ago. He was furious.
Mm.
Some people actually think that's quite good, as long as it's not regular things. It shows they've got that desire. Also, in fairness to Klopp, he was probably wrestling for the Champions League. I'm sure by the next morning Salah would have been over it.
Yeah, but I mean, the way he walked off the field, didn't even go and shake Klopp's hand. I mean, granted, or didn't bump his elbow. But at the end of the day, like, if he's going to have that kind of reaction, it does show a lot of passion. But it also worries me that maybe Klopp's going to go, well, you know what, you're acting like a child. I'm going to pop you in the naughty corner, and I'm going to bench you.
I've seen a few of those in a Leeds game a few weeks back. Pablo Hernandez came off quite early. And he was furious. By the next day, he was just saying, he was in the press saying to the fans, yeah, sorry about that, I just got a bit impassioned, didn't mean to offend anyone. And I think it's different if you've got a situation like what happened with Malpe, where he okay. What actually happened, not what you said happened.
Well, when did he injure his hamstring?
No, he didn't injure himself at all.
Oh, this is a few weeks
ago. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, right.
This is the one where a teammate got into a row, and then they were basically punished. I feel like we've seen it a few times this season where players get hauled off and they're really fucking angry, and then it's just war under the bridge.
Yeah. Well, for context to the listeners just now, obviously this weekend Malpe, you don't have him, we weren't going to talk about it, but took a penalty, missed it completely. You know, it was a boggy field. I think they were playing, you know, it was pretty watery, and all the players were complaining, but he missed it completely. couple of minutes later, he subbed himself off. And it says hamstring injury on the website. I think it might be a bruised ego. But anyway, enough about that. Let's take a little bit of a break and then come back and talk about some players.
I am looking forward to it, Scott.
Just show a little bit more enthusiasm.
I'm really looking forward to talking about the players and who we're going to add to the watch list, and I'm excited. See you in a sec. See you in a sec. Welcome back to Bench Boost Boys. With me, Scott, and you, Gav.
Yeah. Yep. Players to watch and transfer. So we'll just touch on some players that obviously did well this week that we didn't have.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about a couple of the injuries. We talked about last week. We didn't act on it. Yeah. And he did it. He pulled it out. Pedro Neto for Wolves. 5.5 million.
I've been watching him for a few weeks now. I know you can only have so many players in your team. I mean, we literally know how many. But yeah, there are a few players that we talk about regularly that have not got anywhere near our team.
Well, this was an opportunity for me to you know, finally act on it, and I did with one of the other players, and I'll talk about my transfers a little bit later.
Yeah.
But Pedro Neto, I bought in a midfielder more expensive than Neto because I felt like I had a bit of FOMO.
Or do you sometimes feel that compulsion when you've got the money that you should be spending it? I.e., you should go for a 6.5 instead of a 5.5 because you can?
Maybe. I don't like the idea of leaving money on the yeah. bench because you're literally leaving, you know, valued talent. Like, they value these players for a reason. Mm. I mean, obviously there are players that are the exceptions, like Gareth Bale, 9.5 million. We know what he's capable of.
On his day. Yeah.
But, I mean, he's not worth 9.5 million right now. He's not getting enough game time. He's not consistent enough. But Pedro Neto at 5.5 million, and he made the team of the week this week with an absolutely phenomenal performance.
Well, owned by 2.6% of teams, it'll be interesting to see what that looks like come game week deadline.
If he's not one of the most transferred in players this week, I'll eat my hat. I don't own many hats.
Well, I can lend you a hat.
I can afford.
Well, we can fashion you one. We can fashion you a hat out of bread, maybe.
Yeah, I mentioned this morning I watched the Aston Villa West Ham game. I think you did too.
I did.
Jared Bowen. Obviously played really well, and you know, I think he's scored about 3 or 4 goals this season already. So got a goal and an assist, so he's obviously, for me, made that watch list because he's quite an affordable player as well.
Yeah. Who else you got?
Riyad Mahrez. Absolute blinder. He's got 21 points. You can't ignore that sort of performance, and he actually has pulled out some double-digit performances already this season, so...
I feel like no one talks about him.
Yeah, I know.
Is it his price point or something?
Well, he's under 9 million, so he's cheaper than Son.
Yeah.
He's playing for a team that has some really great fixtures.
Well, I was going to say, and it feels like maybe City are finally perhaps about to come into some form.
Well, they have to. If they're going to be a top 6 team, they have to hit some form, and this run of 5 fixtures is the time they're going to do it.
I think Mahrez gets forgotten about sometimes because people talk about Sterling and KDB.
Mm.
But
and 8 million is budget compared to those guys. So
yeah, yeah,
you got to look at it. You know, he's the equivalent of around like a Ziyech, around that same sort of price points, a little bit cheaper than Son.
Good pick.
One of the other players that's on my watch list, Danny Welbeck.
I've heard of him.
Mm. We mentioned last week that he scored a goal.
In fairness, you've been talking about him now for a few weeks.
I have. He only got an assist this week, but he still had a really great game. The assist itself was actually a little bit ambiguous. It was the touch in the penalty box. The VAR awarded it a penalty.
And he got the assist for winning the penalty?
Yeah, Gross was the one that took the penalty. Obviously, that was well after Maupay sulked off after he missed his. So
I wanted to ask, actually, very quick segue. If you get an assist for winning the penalty, what happens if you also take the penalty? Do you get the assist and the goal?
No, you're just playing with yourself.
Ooh. Okay.
No, genuinely, like, you can't assist yourself. You can't.
But that's weird.
No, well, it's not, because it's the same as if a
player... Oh, right, in open play, kicking it to themselves, you can't get the assist and the goal.
Well, no, not so much even that, but I mean, when someone plays you the ball from inside your own half, and then you run past 3 or 4 defenders through their half and score, that player back in the other half, he doesn't register an assist. No one does. No one gets the assist for that. It's just a great individual goal.
It's a crying shame.
Hmm.
Okay.
Who's on your watch list this week? You've got a name there that's...
I've got a somewhat tongue-in-cheek Lookman. Only because I talked about him quite a bit. Then he had his horrific penalty week. And then he scored at the weekend. Like we've said, for better or worse, if you watch Fulham games, well, my commiserations, but also, every time he's on the ball and anywhere near the box, the bastard wants to thrash it into the net. And I guess sometimes it makes it into the net.
Well, he gets into good space. He's a really good player.
You'd be forgiven for thinking he was a striker, but...
Came from RP Leipzig. We talked about that the other week. He scored a really cracking goal within one or two games of his debut. I was actually talking about Edinson Cavani. You have that name on your list.
Yeah, with a question mark and an exclamation mark, another tongue-in-cheek one, just like Lookman. I am expecting a lot of people to suddenly chuck him in their teams. For me, he doesn't... do that. He will be on my watch list because I'll look at him, but what I'm looking for, apart from consistent goal scoring, is I'm looking for minutes. The guy's barely playing 45 minutes.
I'm just going to check the stats on who's the most transferred in players. He doesn't feature in this list just yet in the top 5. There he is. He's somewhere in the top 10. He's coming in around 8th spot, Edinson Cavani.
People can't help it. They see someone score a goal and they whiff him straight in the team. My biggest problem with him, and you know, maybe like to put it into contrast, at the start of the season, I had Eddie Nketiah on the bench, and maybe once he came off the bench and got a goal, but I didn't get that because he was my third striker and I had him on the bench, and it was this complete failure of a thing because my paranoia is always, I don't want to start guys who I don't think are going to start games. Cavani doesn't start games.
He doesn't start games, but he sure as hell finishes them. No, he comes on late. Like that might have sounded...
Would you do that though? Like, would you bring in Cavani?
No, I wouldn't. He's like 8 million for a striker. That's just too expensive.
If he's coming on and he's scoring goals though, why wouldn't you bring him in?
Well, that's true. I mean, Jota is the exact same sort of player.
Yeah, sure.
He's not even a guaranteed starter for Liverpool. I mean, everyone's saying, why isn't he a guaranteed starter for Liverpool? They play that famous 4-3-3. Mm. Who do you drop? You know, do you drop Firmino? Do you drop...
That was the feeling earlier in the season that maybe it was just a matter of time before Firmino got dropped.
Well, you know, it'd be really, really easy for FPL managers if one of those three players, Salah, Mane, or Firmino, could just go out and get a fucking injury, so we know Jota's going to start.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same with Cavani. Like, I've just got that paranoia, and I know that if I brought Cavani in, I probably wouldn't start him because I'd have a midfielder who I know is going to start that I think might get an assist or some bonus points, and Cavani might get 15 minutes and do nothing.
Take your fifth midfielder as an example, Solly March for Brighton. I mean, you know...
He gets a goal every now and again.
Yeah, but you know Cavani's a better player than him. You're saying you'd rather play Solly March as a fifth midfielder than you
would... Yeah, it's neuroses more than anything.
No, I'm on your side. Like, I don't want to buy a player that only plays, you know, 45 minutes of a game or even less than that sometimes.
Yeah, so that's why...
As much as you know he might come on and score, he might also not.
But what might change as well, and I don't know what his fitness is like these days, if that plays a part in it, but if he keeps scoring, well, ultimately he'll probably force his way into the team, a bit like Jota might. You know, they'll force the manager to kind of play them.
There is a big difference, and it's about
20 years. Well, that's why I mentioned, the caveat was, you know, is it fitness? Can Cavani not do 90 minutes?
I don't know what went on last week with Wolves' defensive line. I didn't really look too far into it. New Sice was out with coronavirus. Cody, I think, was injured. I don't know if he ended up playing. I didn't even look, to be honest, and I'm not about to look now. But Kilman's actually a player who's been pretty consistently in their back line, and he didn't come on too early. I think he came on with about 16 minutes to go to score me 1 point, which is exactly what we were talking about with Cavani. If they're not even guaranteed to start, do I have to start looking at Kilman the same way I started looking at Sice? Out the corner of my eye, because I don't trust the bastard anymore?
I'll get real buyer's remorse if I feel my team of players that aren't going to play at least 60 minutes a game.
Well, Kilman's only 4.1 or 4.2 million.
We had the same feel with Willian earlier in the season as well, and it was like, oh my God, this guy is just maybe playing 50 minutes here and there.
Yeah.
And that chips away at your points as well.
Yeah, moving on to injuries, obviously we know Jimenez...
I got one more player.
Oh, good gravy. Oh, yep. Oh, so, God, this will take an hour.
I'll keep it brief. So I had previously talked a couple of weeks ago about, on the watch list was Rodrigo from Leeds, because I felt like he was going to work his way into the team and play. Anyway, the weekend Rodrigo didn't, But Rafinha, the new Brazilian at Leeds, did play from the start. He's really good.
He's not new, he's about 23 years old, but yeah.
Relatively speaking, he's new to Leeds. He played really well, and he got the goal in the win against Everton. I'm not about to jump out and go and buy him, but he's firmly on the watch list. The guy looks awesome.
Do you know what he costs?
Money.
Okay. I can't imagine he'd be more than 6 mil.
No, it'll be cheap.
Yeah. So to injuries, Jimenez fractured his skull. I think he got into a clash with David Luiz,
yeah.
Who played on for a little while. I think he went off at half-time. But Jimenez turns out he had a fracture, so he's actually out for quite a while now. I think they're looking at January? Late January?
Here's an interesting one, a little bit like Brewster Watch. At Wolves, they have a young Portuguese... surprise, surprise! It's a Portuguese player at Wolves, and he did come on as a sub. I don't know if it was tactical, but they did bring on Fabio Silva at the weekend and then took him off again. So I don't know if he just played super shit or it was tactical. Or he himself, he's not injured. I know he's not injured.
So he didn't start the game. You're saying they subbed him on, then they subbed him off.
Exactly.
Oh, that has got to be a real bruise to the ego.
Yeah, it happens sometimes, I guess. Usually for tactical reasons.
So he came on for him. Maybe yes. He's not fit. All right, yeah.
So,
because that happened pretty early on.
He's a really highly rated young striker. Like, literally talking about him, when he reaches his peak, he should be a world beater. Time will tell, of course. But he is, 5.2 million, yet to score a goal, but he's not had tons of minutes. But if Jimenez is out, he's logically the striker that probably will play for Wolves. So keep your eye on him. There you go, I'll shoehorn him in. Watch list, Fabio Silva.
No, you get one chance to add someone to your watch list. You can't do it when we're talking about player injuries. We had that, you had that chance.
I feel injured now.
David De Gea injured his knee. He went off at halftime for United. And we touched on this. Maupé, apparently it's his hamstring. I don't know when he pulled it. Maybe he pulled it when he was slicing that penalty wide. I don't know. But he's out. So if you're one of those people that owns Maupé as your third striker or even your second cheap striker, because actually, see, this is a recurring theme for people. Loading up their midfields and just having three cheap strikes at the front. And I'm not going to lie, I'm liking that idea, and I'll touch on that a little bit later. But
you tease.
Maupé, he's cooked. Hamstring, take a look to see if he's in the team for next week later on. But why don't we take a break?
Welcome back to Bench Boost, boys. Let's give Game Week 11 the forecast it duly deserves.
Okay. The first game of the weekend is Aston Villa hosting Newcastle at Villa Park.
Righto.
Well, we're both going to have players in this fixture, and I think we're both going to have the same players. Would you believe?
Yeah.
Jack Grealish and Ollie Watkins, unless you make any changes, I'm probably not going to.
Yeah, Grealish and Watkins. I'll read my notes. I put, it's the Grealish and Watkins show. In this week's episode, Watkins gets cranky because he's not allowed to take penalties anymore.
Yeah, well, he missed, didn't he? So he
kicked the ball bad.
He fucking won't. The other player that I want to talk about a little bit is Saint Maximin, because I transferred him in last week. You know, I did that early transfer where I thought, oh shit, I want to do this before Jorginho's price gets any lower.
Yeah.
Bought him in Friday night. I think it was really late Friday night, about 10:30 PM our time, just before we had to, you know, finalise before we went to sleep.
Go to bed.
He was ruled out.
Is he back?
Got an injury. No, he's still out. So he's out this week for me. I've got to get rid of him because, you know, it's 5.4 million sitting on my bench. I wasn't just going to let it rot. It's not like Sully. You know, he's not going to come back and start doing things because he's Saint Maximin.
Less guarantee, I suppose. My only other note on this game really is Darlow's going to be busy. I'll tell you, here's my little tip then. Remind me next week for us to take a little peek at the bonus points and see if Darlow ends up in there. See if he makes a shitload of saves and gets in the bonus points.
Well, either we get points for save anyway. The next game is Burnley Everton. I think DCL obviously is due for a goal.
Yeah.
He didn't score last weekend, and he's averaging about what, one goal a game at the minute.
Rodriguez is also due a good game.
Yeah, but the next few fixtures, you know, if you've kept Rodriguez up to this point, it's because you're exercising a certain amount of patience. And, you know, he's disappointed the last couple of game weeks, so for me, it's probably a good time to get rid of him. Maybe keep him for this Burnley fixture, but I don't want it to be one of those things where, you know, he lulls you into a false sense of security and you think, oh, I'm going to give this guy a chance, because their next fixtures are pretty crap.
Well, here's an interesting point as well, then. Like, chances are, if you've got DCL, you're probably not going to have Richarlison. So I feel like because DCL, notwithstanding this last week, is doing really well this season, it feels like it, by default, Richarlison's kind of been written off a little bit in FPL terms.
Well, I mean, the majority of people have DCL. He's probably the most owned FPL asset. So yeah. Do you double up on your strikers being from Everton?
Probably not.
I mean, I'm not saying it's the same as having a midfielder, really.
Sure, but I think they're not in as strong form as they were earlier in the season, so some of the confidence might have dropped from there. And I think if people are thinking, oh, maybe I only want one, they're probably going to get rid of Rodriguez and Richarlison, is my point.
Yeah, I'm looking at the fixtures on the fixture difficulty rating provided by the Premier League website. Next week they've got Burnley. The following weekend they've got Chelsea at home, Leicester away, Arsenal at home, which is an easy fixture these days. Sheffield, which, I mean, they're cellar dwellers, that'll be an easy fixture. But then they've got Man City. So for the next five fixtures, they're not super easy. And no. You know, James Rodriguez, if he's going to start performing, if Richarlison, if Everton are going to start performing, I think the only consistency in Everton right now is DCL.
Yeah,
and
agree. Well,
the other one would have been Luka Dean, but he's injured. You know, he's actually out until 30th of January. So.
I'm not sure how economical it is to pick him, but Pickford is pretty good in goal as well, you know.
Yeah.
For a keeper selection. But yeah, okay, fair enough. Burnley, who cares? So, Manchester City versus Fulham.
Yeah, the floodgates absolutely opened last week for Manchester City.
But this game's coming at a really interesting point, because Man City are heating up and Fulham finally actually got a good result.
Yeah, but Fulham are heating up in the same way that when you start renting a property and you find that it's got a gas oven, you got to stick your hand down the back and you got to light it with a lighter. The whole thing's fucking dangerous, and it doesn't get that much heat anyway. That's Fulham heating up. They've had one win. They're crap. They're utter shite. But Manchester City heating up, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
That's an induction stove. And they provide you with the pots.
Fuck. Yeah. Really, really nice ones. You're talking like, you know, La Creuset, really nice, expensive pots.
My partner designs kitchens and I don't even know what you're talking about. But the point is, KDB is a 200 points per season minimum player.
Well, he's got some catching up to do.
He does. And these are the fixtures to do it in. And Fulham.
Good point, well made, Scott. So KDB, we've obviously already talked about on the watch list, Riyad Mahrez. I'm with you. Man City are probably going to absolutely fucking thrash them.
West Ham and United. West Ham coming off the back of a win against Aston Villa.
Yeah.
The surprise package of the season, what are they, top five now? They're coming in fifth place or something.
Crazy. Honestly, before the season started, I'd heard all this drama about some behind the scenes shit going down and the club captain Mark Noble speaking out about it, and I honestly thought, oh no, West Ham are going to have a terrible season. And since Moyes came back from his COVID stretch, they've been doing awesome.
Well, Bruno Fernandes is also featuring for Man United, we'd have to assume, despite, you know, unless anything happens in Europe over the week. And they're obviously coming to West Ham, so Man United playing away, we know Fernandes likes to Fernandes likes to play better when he's playing away. So for me, irrespective of West Ham's form, because it has been good,
yeah,
I think that this is going to be a good game for Man United. And
I agree.
Yeah, I think Fernandes playing away is good for anyone that owns him. I have Adama Sowaku for West Ham. You know, he's my fifth choice defender, but not because I don't think he's a great player, but because West Ham's fixtures, just every time I look at them, I get a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
So I always pop someone in front of him, like Kilman or Chilwell or Bellerin. In saying that, Masuaku's definitely sitting on my bench here, because I just have such faith in Fernandes right now. I think most people do.
Well, I should have last two game weeks. Anyway, yeah, I'm with you. And I think Fernandes will be the difference, unsurprisingly. Chelsea at home against Leeds. Yeah, I'm terrified to double up on Chelsea defenders against Leeds. So I'll talk about exactly what I'm going to do about that. But on the flip side, this could very easily be another 0-0 like the Arsenal game.
I don't know why one of the options on your thing isn't that Chelsea absolutely fucking trounce Leeds.
Never going to happen.
Right, Bielsa. No, well, for me, my notes start here. Are Leeds good all of a sudden? But then I realised I'm talking to a Leeds fan.
Then you realise
talking about Leeds.
They were always good. And I'm talking
my concern
Arsenal
is that we're having a
who hates talking about Arsenal.
All of a sudden, we're going to be talking about Leeds for the rest of the night. Look, at the end of the day, Chelsea's going to fucking walk all over Leeds, whether Gareth believes it or not. Double down on your Chelsea assets if you have them, because I can't see Leeds continuing this rich vein of form.
I can't wait for you to be proved wrong. I'm not going
to
prove you wrong. I don't play for Leeds.
You'll have to buy a second hat for me to eat it, because I don't think I'm going to be eating another hat.
Another bread one, or you want something else?
Whatever. My yawn match of the week. West Bromwich Albion versus Crystal Palace. Tell me something that's going to happen in this game that's going to excite me.
All I can do is point you towards my notes. Feel free to read them.
I refuse to talk about this fixture or even recognise its existence. Moving on, Sheffield United versus Leicester City.
Yeesh.
Yeah, Brewster Watch is getting pretty hard.
I feel like that TV show is being cancelled.
We were so excited about Brewster when he came in because he was 4.5 million and it was like a
prodigious Liverpool youth striker.
Sheffield's biggest signing in a million years and hasn't really delivered. And Sheffield, they're so crap. I don't even know their manager's name.
Chris Jones is cooked. Chris Football Man.
Vardy didn't score, you know, this morning in the early hours. He didn't score, which means he's due for a romp. He got an assist. He obviously got some attacking points. He got 5 points for anyone that owns him. But I reckon Vardy owners this week will be expecting pretty big returns.
Yeah, that's probably a good shout. I mean, I say it's a good shout. You're probably still going to want to go for the likes of KDB or Sal if you got him, but if you do have Vardy, wouldn't be a terrible idea to maybe captain him.
Yeah, I mean, I would have captained him this weekend, but I mean, that wouldn't, I mean, 10 points. The next game is Tottenham versus Arsenal, the North London derby. As an Arsenal fan, I'm going to say this right now, Captain Son or Captain Kane, I'm expecting big things from them, because I'm not expecting much from my own team. I'm actually even reluctant to play Bellerin, but I don't want to play Kilman against Liverpool, and I'm certainly not going to play Masuaku against Man United. So,
this has got Tottenham win written all over it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. This is one of those things where if I had any money in my sports bet account, I don't, I keep losing it for some reason, I would put it all on Tottenham.
Are you going to lose your Arsenal membership card for saying things like that?
Well, it is what it is. Liverpool versus Wolves.
Yeah, so, yeah, Salah captain pick written all over it. Wolves, maybe we'll see Fabio Silva if he's fit and ready. Come on, I don't know what he, you know, who knows, right? But it's probably a Liverpool win.
Oh, I think it's definitely a Liverpool win, because Wolves have a talisman, and that talisman is Jimenez. He scores their goals. Pedro Neto's playing well, but would you want to bring him in this week? This is a really tough fixture for Wolves. You know, people might bring him in. He might do something. Who's to say that you're wrong about that young fella and he goes off and scores?
I wouldn't be surprised for Wolves to score, but it would probably be bloody Podence or someone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think, I don't know, Salah should be back to full fitness depending on what happens in Europe. You know, hopefully, you know, Klopp looks at that disappointment when he gets subbed as him just being super passionate about the game, and he doesn't punish him in any way.
That was another comment that came out actually in the Twitter sphere, that Salah will now come back and score a bunch of goals just to, you know, set the record straight.
Oh, there you go. Captain Salah. Next game is Brighton and it's Southampton.
Final game of game week 11.
Yeah, this could be Welbeck's week.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And Ward-Prowse, had another set piece masterclass with an assist and a was it a direct free kick? Yeah, let's just say it was. You're not a fan of WordPress. I'll let you talk to that in a second. But there are a lot of people getting back on that bandwagon. I'm hoping that Kyle Walker-Peters does concede a goal. I'm hoping he doesn't, because he's going to be one of my starting defenders. But if he does, I want it to be because Welbeck has scored. Because, spoiler alert for the next section, I bought him in.
You heard it here first. I'm not a fan of Ward-Prowse. I had him in my team earlier in the season for all about two game weeks.
Before this podcast, you said he was utter shite. You said it explicitly.
No, I didn't.
Didn't you?
No. Oh. But I will elaborate. I know what the stats say, and the stats say he's got, four goals in 10 games, two assists. It's pretty solid. I'm just happy to be proven wrong. It could very well happen. I just think people are jumping on that bandwagon, and I feel like he might quite quickly just turn into a 2 point a week player.
Like an Aubameyang.
A 2020 Aubameyang.
Yeah.
It's just call it a gut feeling if you like. I'm just not convinced.
All right, watch this space.
All right, well, let's take another break, and when we get back, we'll molest the mailbag. And then talk about what we're going to do for game week 11. Does that sound good to you? Ready for some molestation?
I am not sure the viewers are. Listeners.
Well, they could be looking at their speaker, I guess. Anyway, see you in a sec.
Welcome back to the Bench Press Boys with me, Scott.
Did you nearly forget your own name?
No, because you normally do the re-intro part.
And me... James Ward-Prowse.
Yeah. Right, let's jump straight into the mailbag.
You look nervous.
Well, I've never done that. I've never jumped in and been
No, you look nervous about the mailbag.
Well, I'm nervous about how... Okay.
What's he going to say
this
week?
We don't get many questions in, and then Gavin goes and he tears apart the listeners. He just bends them over and he just gives them you give them a serve.
Yeah.
Every week, we had that Nick bloke last week. He was crying. Theo won't even talk to you anymore. This week our question comes from one of our questions comes from Nick of Brizzy Ballers, a different Nick. What are your thoughts on Cancelo? Keep or sell? He was left out of the week's squad despite a strong start to the season. Would I be better off with a player like Ogbonna now that West Ham have leapt to fifth place? So Cancelo obviously for Man City, Ogbonna for West Ham. I think the Ogbonna call might be a little bit premature, Nick, just off the top of my head, given he's about 5.2 mil. Cancelo obviously didn't start for Man City, didn't feature at all, but he's a 5.6 million defender. I'm assuming if you have him and you're asking about keeping him, that means you've got 5.6 mil to play around with. Now, if you're worried about him not starting for Man City, there are other options within the Man City lineup. I'm not sure. I think Walker might be a little bit too expensive, but Diaz is an option, certainly. And just looking at the best defensive assets, you know, Cresswell, I think, is actually a bit of a better option than Ogbonna. I think you had Cresswell, or you have Cresswell?
I do have Cresswell. He's 5.2 mil and Ogbonna's 4.9, so it just depends. You know, we've all been in that position where you go to make a transfer and you realise you're 100 grand short.
But he's got Cancelo. If he's going to sell him, he's going to have some money. He's going to have 5.6.
Well, if you don't already have Cresswell, absolutely go for him above Ogbonna.
I didn't look at Nick's team. We should look at Nick's team. You might have some of these players already, but obviously the big ones for Chelsea are Zuma, Chilwell and James. Cresswell for West Ham, if you're looking at a West Ham player. Tyrone Mings is always a good shout for Aston Villa, as is Konsa, who scored last weekend.
Look at the fixtures as well. Like Ogbonna's playing Manchester United this coming game week, and we've already talked about the fact that we think Man United are probably going to run ragged.
Yeah.
So maybe not the week to be like that. And when we talk about what we're doing with our teams, I'll also explain that one of the decisions I make wasn't my first choice, but when I looked at the player I wanted to bring his fixtures, it just wasn't the right week to do it. So I would, one point to consider, it's probably not the right week to bring Ogbonna in. The only reason why I would potentially bring in Cresswell is because Cresswell gets assists. Ogbonna got a goal at the weekend, but before that, you know, the odd clean sheet here and there, like he's doing well, but he's not contributing with things like assists.
No. The players in West Ham that are contributing assists are players like Cresswell.
Mm.
He's whipping balls in. So, you know, Nick, to answer your question concisely, I would say either have the patience with Cancelo and assume he will probably play the next fixture, or alternatively swap to Diaz, who has played all of Man City's fixtures.
Yeah.
And if you are set on moving to a different team, and I wouldn't right now because Man City have some really good fixtures, I would look elsewhere, and I would probably look to Chelsea assets or potentially Villa assets.
Another thing to do as well, unless you desperately need to make a move early in the week, and sometimes people do, as Scott will talk about shortly, maybe just wait until the team news comes out before the game week deadline, and you might understand that Cancelo is going to play. There might have been a tactical reason for him not being, or maybe he wasn't fully fit, or he needed to be rested. So the other thing as well is that often is said is don't necessarily rush because a guy's been out for 1 week. Look what happened with Size at Wolves. A lot of people, I think quite rightly, hung on to him for an extra week because they just wanted to see, and then they realised that he's basically not playing.
Yeah, and you should probably try and have enough defensive assets that you can afford to wait and see.
Well, if Cancelo is in your team and you put him in starting 11 and he doesn't play, then hopefully someone from your bench is going to pick up some points anyway.
And hopefully he doesn't do a Kilman and come on with 16 minutes to go and do absolutely fucking nothing. Moving on to the next question, it comes from Warren of Who Are Ya? Asks a pretty straightforward question. Mendy or Loris?
Okay, well, Mendy's a very popular pick at the moment, and Chelsea are flying pretty high. Mendy at 5.1 million, and obviously Loris at Spurs 5.5. So, ironically, Loris is, what, 400k more expensive? It depends what your money's doing, but I probably, same advice really, look at the fixtures. Loris is about to play against Arsenal, so clean sheet guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after that, Crystal Palace away. After that, Liverpool followed by Leicester, but, you know, it doesn't have to be for forever. You've got Mendy in your team, right?
I do have Mendy in my team, and I love having Mendy in my team. Their fixtures aren't actually too bad for the next six game weeks. They've got Leeds, Everton, Wolves, West Ham, Arsenal, and Aston Villa. They then face Man City, Leicester, but then after that they've got Fulham, Wolves and Burnley. So Mendy's a long-term pick. The only reason I would say steer clear of Mendy is if you already have two Chelsea assets. And if you don't already have two Chelsea assets, what the fuck are you doing, Warren?
Well, also in particular as well, if you already have a Chelsea defender. So I've just pulled up Warren's team, and he's got Chilwell.
Well, Chilwell's a phenomenal player. I mean, you can afford to have Chilwell because he's not a defender for defensive reasons. He's a defender for attacking reasons.
You're right. I mean, obviously, and we're also generally not expecting Chelsea to get fucking pumped. So it's not like they're going to get negative points for slipping loads of goals. So Mendy and Chilwell's fine.
For me, the obvious choice is literally Mendy. Just get
him. I agree. Yeah. Pretty simple on there. And I wasn't mean to people, was I?
No, you were actually pretty good.
Well, let's go on to what we'll do this week then. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? Or what have I already done? What did I do halfway through this game week?
Philosophical.
Not philosophical, just hypocritical, really, because I preach to the listeners all the time, wait until the end of the game week, see what happens in Europe, see what happens with your players, listen to the press conferences, blah, blah, blah. It's all bullshit. It's all about the money.
Well, don't beat yourself up too much. Like, they're tactics to be used, and you've used one.
Yes.
Explain.
I'll explain it. Okay, so seeing some of the performances and already looking ahead to some of the other fixtures, I already had in my head what I'd be doing this week, irrespective of the players' performances. And mentioning last week on the podcast that I wanted Welbeck in, or at least I was looking at Welbeck, and also seeing Spurs' form, and also not form, their fixtures, I was kind of thinking, you know what, if I put Welbeck in instead of Kane, that would free up a heck of a lot of money in my midfield.
Can I ask you a hypothetical question quickly?
You can.
If Kane and Son this past game week had both scored hat-tricks, would that have changed your plans? Or was their game after your transfer?
The game's after the transfer.
How would you have felt then?
Look, I would have probably cried, wet my pants, maybe shat them, I'm not sure. But the point is, I that didn't happen. So I felt at the end of the game week that I was vindicated in my choices. I ended up bringing Welbeck in for Kane. And I used some of that money to get rid of St. Maximin, who had obviously picked up an injury last Friday. And I bought in KDB. I also downgraded James Rodriguez. I say downgraded, I got in Jota. So, like I said a little bit earlier, a little bit of FOMO. I didn't like the amount of people that were bringing in Jota, so I was a little bit like, I need him as well. Bought him in, and I'm pretty glad I did. In saying that, if I was to kind of maybe go back in time and affect a different transfer, I might have actually maybe bought in Neto instead of Jota, and that would have left some money on my bench, and like I said earlier, I don't want to do that. So KDB's back, KDB's in my squad for the first time this season. They're back to form, I think, Man City. It might be an early shout, but, you know, they're going to, they're welcoming Fulham, you know, to the Etihad. So I'm going to pop the armband on KDB and the vice captaincy on Bruno Fernandes, I think, this week.
And Jota on the bench.
I'll pop Jota on the bench. I'm not playing any chips this week, so I'll play a 3-4-3, sorry, and I'll leave McCarthy, Jota, Kilman, and Masuaku on the bench. I just want to say quickly, this is my midfield right now, just so the listeners can appreciate this for a hot minute. Bruno Fernandes, Jack Grealish, Mo Salah, Kevin De Bruyne. Does that make you a little bit jealous?
No.
Well, fuck you. What are you doing?
Thanks for asking. Kane and Son out.
What if they... Can I ask you a hypothetical? If it was a train... If there was a train leaving the... If Kane and Son had both scored hat-tricks, would you be making the same fucking transfers?
No. No, because I didn't make my transfers that early. I did make them early in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, so you've already made these?
I've done it.
Okay.
I've done it. And in comes Salah. Welcome back, Salah. And Callum Wilson, who I had in for all of about a week, 3 weeks ago. He blanked and he left again.
You don't give them much of a chance, do you?
No, sometimes they fall victim of a tactical switch elsewhere. So it's rarely about them specifically, unless, don't get me wrong, if Wilson had scored a hat-trick in that game week for me, I probably wouldn't have got rid of him. But look, Wilson, don't take it personally.
This is the Son Kane train debacle all over again. If he had scored a hat-trick, you didn't. Did you hear that, Wilson? If you had done anything that game week, you would have been safe.
Yeah. Anyway, that's in the past.
Are you playing any chips this week?
I love chips, but no. Earlier on in the show, I did touch on the idea that I was going to bring someone in, but the fixtures weren't right. It was Patrick Bamford. I was going to bring him in instead of Wilson.
Yeah, he has the best XGA out of any striker that doesn't...
Outside of penalties, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't fancy his fixture this week, Bamford. They got Chelsea. So Wilson it is. I'm going with a 3-4-3, like yourself. I would imagine Mo Salah captain. And I need to stick with that. I need to go for a luxury premium player this week for captain.
Well, I mean, you say that, but... Everton are playing Burnley.
Everton were playing Leeds, mate.
I just think that maybe you should think about maybe putting the captain's armband on DCL.
Thank you for your sage advice. I would encourage you to fuck off.
You know, last week's podcast, the final bit of advice we gave our listeners, specifically Nick, who asked the question, was when in doubt, captain DCL.
Sorry.
Nick, if you fucking listen to us then
sorry about that.
By all accounts he didn't listen to us, so well done you. Mind you, we only scored 33 points this week, so I hope you didn't captain DCL. If you did and we were a part of the reason you did that, Nick, I'm really fucking sorry.
Oh well, on that bombshell, any last thoughts?
No.
Remember that Bench Boost Boys on social media, benchboostboys.club is the website. You can email us as well if you want, benchboostboys@gmail.com. Send us questions for the mailbag. I'll try and be nice.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with Game Week 11, Scott. I hope you do really badly. And I hope I do really, really well. And I hope you hope I do really, really well.
I just hope everyone does well.
Ugh.
It's about friendship.
Yikes. Bye.
See you next week.